Lord God, that you would speak to us this morning from your word, Lord. That we know, God, that you have great and mighty things for us. We know that you want to pour into our lives. And Lord, we come to hear. And Lord, we ask that we would be more than hearers of the word that deceive themselves. That we would hear your word, that we would allow it to penetrate, to cut our hearts, to cut away the flesh. And Lord, that you would change our lives today. That our lives would magnify you. That you would use our lives, Lord, as a light shining in the darkness for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're continuing with Romans little by little, bite by bite. Okay, that's it. Just bite-sized bits of Romans. Romans bits, now in fun size. Paul's been laying out a case of the sinfulness of man, of mankind. And we're all guilty, and that's what we're seeing here. Starting in chapter 1, verse 18, he began to lay out the indictment. And he continues to do that into chapter 3, and we're going to pick up in verse 17 of chapter 2 today. But let me lay it out again. Verse 18 of chapter 1, he said, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Creation proclaims the glory of God. We're without excuse. Just take a look around. Things around us, they proclaim that there is a maker, a creator. It didn't happen by accident or circumstance. But rather than being thankful and glorifying God for the things that he has given us, man overall rejected God. Man became futile in his thinking. And his heart was darkened. And because of that, Paul says in verse 20, little tiny, 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." There, we're all guilty in one form or 26. We're all guilty. We're without excuse. We're guilty. And then Paul tells us in the beginning of chapter 2 that man is hypocritical because he condemns others of gossiping, of being malicious, of being evil. And then we go and we do the very same things ourselves. And when we're judging others, we're condemning ourselves. He says, yet man fools himself thinking that God isn't going to judge those sins because he hasn't done anything yet, forgetting that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And we fool ourselves by thinking that by being religious, that'll help us. We're very religious. But being religious won't help us. Because it's not hearing the word of God that saves a person. It's doing what God says. Believing in his son. That's what saves us. Oh yeah, but I'll just let my conscience be my guide. But our conscience doesn't help us, because our conscience will either excuse or accuse. It will lie to us about the very same thing. Now, today, Paul turns his attention to the Jew. Because, see, in all of this, the very religious Jewish person would say, well, that's true. Those Gentiles, that's how they are. Because they looked at Gentiles as being nothing more than fuel to stoke the flames of hell. That's how they are. But, hey, whoa, back off, Paul. That pertains to them, but that doesn't pertain to us, because we're children of Israel. We're God's chosen people. We have the law and the prophets. We have the covenants with God. We're special. And so knowing this, Paul addresses it. Now pay attention. Verse 17. He says, indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. The Jews, they were God's chosen people. The word Jew, it comes from Judah. Do you remember by any chance what Judah means? Praise. Jews, that's a derivation from the word Judah. They were to be a praise to the glory of God. His will revealed in their lives. Their lives reflecting God's glory and praise to the world. Jews. God had spoken to them. They had his law. They considered, because they had God's law, because they were his chosen people, man, they are above the fray. They're above the rest of the world. Hey, we have God's law. We know what his will is. We know what is right and wrong because we have been instructed out of the law. And because we have the law and know God's will, we're able to be guides. We're able to lead others to the morally and spiritually blind. We're able to lead them. We're able to be a light to those who are in darkness and who are lost in the ignorance of sin, not having the law themselves. Because we have God's law, we're able to correct, to direct, to instruct. We're instructors of the foolish, teachers of those babes that don't know any better. And they became very prideful. very arrogant. Jesus, man, he ran into the same arrogance. And he confronted the Jewish leaders, calling them hypocrites and blind guides. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Read. Homework. Read. Matthew chapter 23. Whoa. In Matthew 15, he said, if the blind lead the blind, both are going to fall into a ditch. Paul says, verse 21, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. See, the Jews boasted about having the law, God's word. Oh man, we got God's word. We're his chosen people. But it never changed their life. They were proud that they had the law and the prophets. They were proud that they were children of Israel, were descendants of Abraham. It was pride of race, pride of religion, pride of knowledge. They taught others, but they never took the lessons to heart themselves. Man, they didn't practice what they preached, literally. It was, hey, this is good. This is what you ought to do. Do as I say, but not as I do. They had all the outward religious form. The rituals, they had it down. But look, even the Gentiles, they'd just watch them. They'd look at them and see how they lived their lives. And the Gentiles saw that they were doing all the same things that the Gentiles were doing. They were lying. They were stealing. They were involved in immorality. They were doing all the same things. But they were boasting in having the law. Oh, we have the law and the prophets. We have God's word. Oh, we have a high moral code. But they were looking like the rest of the world. They agreed that the book, thank you. They agreed that the book it was VBS, you had to be here. The book was holy, right, and true. That it was good. But they didn't follow it. They argued over it. Oh, there's 613 commands. What should we do? Who can follow all of these? They confronted Jesus about it. He said, look, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then do this. Love your neighbor as yourself. But they weren't doing it. See, the rabbis had taken God's word and they had twisted it and they had mixed it up, and 613 rules and regulations plus more. And then they got so, look, you don't even have to follow these 613 commandments. All you have to do is memorize God's word. Get it into you and then it will work. Memorize God's word. Don't do it, just memorize it. And then it got to this. Look, you don't even have to memorize it. We're possessors of God's word. We have his word. You know, it's the family Bible that hasn't been opened up in 13 generations. They weren't allowing God's word to work in their lives. Hearing God's word isn't enough. If you boast of God's word and don't follow God's word, those who see you will blaspheme God. Now, we think, oh, that's blaspheme because people, you know, the damn word and all that. Right? We can talk about this, right? Because people will use God's name and use him to cuss, right? And people think that that's blasphemy. Look, blasphemy is this. Saying that God's not true. That's blasphemy. Why? Because it elevates you up above God. Whoa. It is the greatest blasphemy that you could ever give. Exalting yourself above God. Saying God isn't true and I know better. And when people see people who are saying God is true, but yet their lives aren't being lived like that, it causes others to blaspheme God. Look, before I was a Christian, I saw the very thing. I saw Christians who were doing the same things that I was doing. Talk about being confused. I'm going to hell, but they're not. In fact, some of them were coming up with some of these ideas of things to do. Inventors of evil, remember? And then I'd watch TV and I'd see these televangelists who I thought they were crooks, charlatans, you know, con men. That's what I thought they were. Because they get on TV and they beg for money. Now, since I got saved, I didn't get any dumber. I only thought they were con men before. Now I know they are. And them getting wrapped up in embezzlement and immorality didn't help me. So I looked at the people I knew as Christians. I looked at the televangelist. And guess what I did? I blasphemed God. Because I didn't believe any of this was real. Look, it's easy for me to point fingers at these other people. But the fact of the matter is, I've probably caused others to run away from Jesus than rather run to Him. By my own actions. Our lives should always cause people to come to the Lord, to make them hunger and thirst for righteousness, even as we have, to give them a desire to say, man, I don't know what's going on in his life, but man, he's got something that I don't have, that I desire. Ben's not back there. I'm pointing to Ben. He's not there. It's Nate. I pray with Ben. And Ben, oftentimes while we're praying, he prays, Lord, help us. Help us that we wouldn't embarrass you. That's good praying. Help me that my life reflects your glory, that my life causes people to want you, that my life wouldn't cause people to blaspheme your name. That's what was going on here. And Paul says, stop, look. They boasted in the law, not that they followed it. And they boasted in the covenants that they had, and the sign of the covenant. Circumcision. And he's going to address it. He says here, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law, but if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who, even with your written code in circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? Look, circumcision, very important to the Jews. Very important. We see it back in Genesis 17. God makes a covenant with Abraham, promises. Abraham's 99 years old, promises to give him the land of Canaan. I'm going to give it all to you. Your descendants will be as the stars of heaven, or as the sand of the sea. I'm going to change your name from Abram, which means great father, to father of many, Abraham. And he says, look, this is the sign of the covenant that I want from you. I want you to cut away some flesh. Foreskin, I know. We don't talk about it. Oh, you don't even remember. Yeah. Big whoop. Bit of useless skin. Bit of useless flesh is what it's symbolic of. Useless flesh. Cut it away. And for some reason, they start taking pride in this. They weren't the first ones to circumcise. This is really strange. The Egyptians circumcised. Other people did it. Some health reasons. But that was their badge of honor. We are the circumcised. Gentiles, uncircumcised dogs. And they boasted in it. But again, it was all ritual, missing the spiritual reality behind it. In Deuteronomy 10:16, God said, therefore circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. Hey, quit being stubborn towards me. You're full of yourself, flesh. Cut away that flesh. Make your heart sensitive. Leviticus 26:41. If their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they accept their guilt, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob and my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham. I will remember. I will remember the land. They wouldn't do it. They were just refusing and refusing. Time of Jeremiah. The Lord says, circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Take away the foreskins of your hearts, lest my fury come forth like fire. They didn't do it. God judged the nation. Hey, it's interesting. God not only speaks of circumcising the heart, which is the reality, but he also speaks of circumcising the ears in Jeremiah 6:10 and the lips in Exodus 6:12. But they only wanted to circumcise, well, you know, get rid of some flesh, a little piece of skin. They were following the ritual, yet missing out on the reality. And we can be just as guilty. Many people today are trusting in that baptism. Check that box. We can do it not only with baptism, but we can do it with a lot of things that we can take and turn into ritual. Devotional time. Man, I just got to get this chapter read. You know, I'm reading a chapter a day. Oh, I'm reading my Bible in a year. I got to read 6 chapters a day. We can do it with prayer, blessing food, giving thanks over food. Lord, thank you for this spaghetti. Bless it, please. Amen. The spaghetti blessing. We can do it when we come in here to worship. Look, as we pick songs, we try to pick songs that have meaning, a depth to them. We get rid of some here and there because they have no depth. They're happy, snappy, peppy songs. But when we sing, we want to sing to the Lord with some depth, with some worship, meeting him in spirit. How do you do that? You just say, Lord, I want to meet you in spirit and in truth. You're true. You have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is truth. You are truth. And I'm not, and I need you, and I meet you here, and I ask for you to fill me so that I can worship you in spirit and truth, so I can cut away this flesh. That you would circumcise my heart. That, Lord God, that you'd circumcise my heart so it would be sensitive to your touch. Oh, ow. A sensitive heart hurts. Circumcise my ears, Lord, so that when you speak, I can hear. Yeah, and circumcise my lips. So that my words would be salt. So that my words would be seasoned. That I'd know how to answer. That I'd know what to say. That my words would be encouraging, that my words would bring people closer to you, not push people away from you. Otherwise, I'm just hanging out here in the flesh. And you didn't die for me to live in the flesh. Now, Paul says if circumcision doesn't make a person righteous, he says, if you're a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. If an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? I don't know. Look, this is what he's saying. Circumcision is nothing unless it is combined with obedience. A circumcised Jew who transgresses the law might just as well be uncircumcised. And if a Gentile who is uncircumcised lives according to the moral code of the law, even though he doesn't have the law, well, he's closer to being circumcised than that Jew, right? It's the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart, right? That's what he's saying. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, we're on verse 28, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. I'm having a hard time speaking. I need to circumcise my tongue. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. I love this. It's not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside that counts. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. When I go to the store and I get a can of baby peas, I like baby peas. I expect to find a can of baby peas when I open it up. If I opened up that can of baby peas and I found dog food, people put labels on the outside. I'm this, I'm that. I'm a Christian, I'm a Jew, I'm a... But what's on the inside is what matters. Paul says, look, you can have that outward label of Jew and be a scum bunny inside. What counts is who you are inside, what your heart looks like. If you want to have praise from God, have a heart that's sensitive to Him. That's what he's saying to the Jew here. Now, very easy for us, very tempting to look at this and to say, I'm not a Jew, I'm good. Right? Because it's to the Jew after all. Look, I think if Paul would write this letter to the church today, it would be very similar. But see, he wouldn't say Jew, he would say Christian. He wouldn't say law, he'd say gospel. We have the good news. Don't we boast in the good news? Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and resurrected on the third day so that we could have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. That's the gospel. And our boast is in the gospel. Amen. He wouldn't say circumcision. He'd say baptism. Because Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is very important to me. It's an act of obedience. But it's more than a dip in a pool. It has some spiritual reality, some spiritual significance. It's more than just ritual. So, let's take a look at this again. Verse 17. With a couple of variations here, okay? Indeed, you are called a Christian and rest on the gospel and make your boast in God and know His will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed by the gospel and are confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the gospel. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the gospel, do you dishonor God by not living out the gospel? For the name of God is blasphemed among the unsaved because of you, as it is written. For baptism is indeed profitable if you keep the gospel, but if you are a breaker of the good news, the gospel, your baptism has become unbaptism. Therefore, if an unbaptized man keeps the righteousness of the gospel, will not his unbaptism be counted as baptism? If he believes. And will not the physically unbaptized, if he believes the gospel, judge you, who even with your code and baptism are a transgressor of the gospel? For he is not a Christian who is one outwardly, nor is baptism that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Christian who is one inwardly. And baptism is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Look, is it your religious rituals, or do you have a heartfelt relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what it's all about. Look, the outward, it's not the appearance, okay? It's not the outward appearance. It isn't going to church on Sunday. It's the outward flow. There is something outward, but it flows from an inward heart being filled with the Holy Spirit, having the love of God flow out of you from the Holy Spirit. That's it. Because you have a relationship with God. All of this, we come here and we gather to hear the Word of God, to allow it to penetrate our hearts, to change us, so that we have something to give to a world that is lost and perishing. Because Jesus died for them. It isn't that we're above the fray. We're pretty frayed, aren't we? We're pretty messed up without the Lord daily working in our lives. I need Him today. I needed Him. Yeah, I needed Him all week during VBS. I didn't work that hard. I got to confess to you the truth. Look, they do a thing here at VBS, and we've got to stop it. Okay, they feed us. Okay, we convert this part into the stages and all that, and the back turns into Calorie Chapel. Okay? I gained 3 pounds. It's terrible. But we needed the Lord for VBS. We need Him for... We think He wants to do something in Pascagoula, and we're not quite sure. But we're going to go show up. And I needed Him this morning when I got behind Grandpa. Drive the vehicle, please. Right foot, that's gas. I need Him. I need Him in raising my children. I need Him in dealing with people. I need the Lord. And I need something more than religious ritual. It just doesn't cut it for me. And you know what? It doesn't cut it for Him either. I don't really know how to do this thing that we call church. I figured that by now I'd have it figured out. I don't know. I think church is a little weird myself, okay? Because I'm a little weird, and so are you. So church is a little weird, right? But But we gather to meet the Lord. And if we came here and we didn't meet the Lord, then why did we come? And I don't know where you're at with all this. I don't know if your prayers are in spirit and in truth, or if it's just ritual, your devotion time, your worship time, time of singing. But as Wade told us, the Lord wants to do so much more with us. But we can stifle that having an uncircumcised heart. Having a hard heart. Our baptism, we might have just got wet. Look, remember what it was. It was death of the old man being buried with Christ, being raised to newness of life. And maybe that newness is worn off right here, today, right now. You have an opportunity to be baptized afresh and new in the Spirit of God. You have opportunity to have your heart circumcised, your ears circumcised, your lips circumcised, so that you can be a Jew. Listen, Christians don't become the Jew. But you can be a Jew. God's promises to the Jews, they're secure. We don't take their place. But you can be a Jew. I know I've confused you. You can be a praise to His glory. That's what He wants. Worship team, come on up. Baby, hit the lights while you come. Look, if you want to come, we're going to cry out. The Psalms, we are crying out.